You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lee Tree Lin, sitting in for Mira Sivasovi today. Hacking has long been considered the sole domain of the tech-savvy and the geeky, but take that word and add the suffix life, and it's a whole new ballgame. Life hacks are little ways to make your life easier and your day more efficient and enjoyable, basically taking the hacking mindset and extending it to daily life. Sharing their thoughts on the subject are Lim Cheng Soon, who is the founder of Hacker Monthly Magazine, Arzumi Madyusuf, who is the CTO of Sys.com, and Hakim Albaswari, who is the senior partner of Tandemic. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Okay, so British technology journalist Danny O'Brien coined the term life hack. What does it mean?
Well, I think, Jameson, you were talking something about this earlier.
Right. So I think life hack would basically to achieve something, to do something to achieve an end goal without thinking it as a norm thing, like it's what regular people does, or it has to be elegant. So hack can be inelegant, but it gets the job done. So that's hacking.
For me, it's like a cheat code. I mean, we played Mario and all those games as kids, right? And there was always this secret. You couldn't beat the game, you put in this cheat code and you had infinite lives and you could do your thing. I guess it's the closest way for me to experience that on a daily basis, if you think about it. Cheat codes for life.
Yeah, I'm gonna lie, the cheat codes, mate. For me, it's anything that you do to make your life easier. I mean, that's about it.
Mm.
It so could be something that people have been doing all years long, but I mean, you just find out about it, and then, hey, here's a life hack for me. Yeah, so something like that.
So it could extend to anything. It's not sort of, you know, only technology based.
No.
Yes.
No, it can be anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a bunch of shortcuts and tricks to make life easier. Could you give me an example?
I want to kick this one off. I've been holding this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Ever got your car lost in a parking structure? I mean, you forgot to take that picture. That's a life hack, by the way. But it's after the fact. You lost your car and you're trying to identify it by pressing the remote control on your car. Now, there's only a limited amount of radius on this thing. However, this life hack helps out. You put your remote to your skull, pretty much, to your head, press the button, and it will dramatically increase the range of your remote control.
How does that work?
I don't know the science, but I can tell you for sure. A friend of mine, Khalid, told me this some time ago. I tried it out, and it works.
Oh, it just works. You're saving lots and lots of people from walking aimlessly around parking lots.
You're welcome, people.
Yeah. Cheng-sun, do you have a favorite example you'd like to share?
I think I'm usually a nocturnal person. Like, I like to work at night. So sometimes I find difficulties, like I have a morning meeting, but I work at night, so I have to reset my sleep cycle. So I have my own hack to reset my sleeping cycle, which is to extend the day. So let's say I didn't sleep the entire night and I have a morning meeting, so I stay through the entire day, keep myself awake, caffeine, exercise, and then sleep entirely the next day, and the sleep cycle is automatically reset.
Which is what people do for jet lag as well.
Yes.
Yeah, where they don't sleep. Azumi?
Well, there's a lot.
Favorite.
Pick one. All right. Well, probably something that has to do with sleep, right? Because normally, I work normal hours, you know, 9 to 6 pretty much, right? I love my job, I really do, right? I woke up in the morning, I really want to go to work, right? To do cool stuff, right?
Lucky you.
But sometimes I wake up early and then I feel sluggish. I feel like, you know, you don't have energy. So I found out that apparently the result, that's because there's a low blood sugar. There's low sugar in blood, right? So the hack is pretty simple. Before you sleep, just eat celery with almond butter, and then you go to sleep. That should supplement the sugar in your blood. And then when you wake up, you really want to go to work and you don't feel sluggish, and then just, you know, straight away take a cold bath and then go to work.
I don't have
something you call Monday blues or anything. I have Friday blues. Oh, no more work to do.
You're a whole separate type of human. No, because that just reminded me of something people like to do for sleeping as well, where if they know they've got to wake up early, if you've got a Champions League match to catch, for example,
right.
People drink a lot of water before they go to bed, uh-huh. So you've got to wake up in the middle of the night anyway, and then that's how you get up at 4.
That's my side.
So how do you guys find out about these life hacks? Is there, you know, is there have some sort of curated website? Do you consider yourselves curators?
Well, sometimes there's the rare occasion where you stumble across one. Now, I guess what you want to do is you want to engineer serendipity here. You can Google lots and lots of resources for this. Lifehacker.com, lifehacks.com, good resources. Sort of very for everyone type resources. Now, your requirements might be a bit more specific. So, that, I guess, you want to hit the forums. So, if you are, let's say, a techie, life hacks could be in productivity for people who work long hours. I think Cheng Soon later will be able to tell you a bit more about that, how to stand up and work and that kind of stuff. But forums and yeah.
Okay. Would it be accurate, do you think, to say that the term life hacking has also been associated as an answer to information overload? We've just got too much information, we need a way to sort of short circuit all of that.
I guess that's a very small portion of it, right? Because obviously information overload is a problem, and doing something about that is a hack or a solution to it, right? But there's a lot of other things to life hack, like, yeah, both of us is all about sleep. Just now. It's not about information at all.
Right.
And so do you foresee the demographics of people interested in life hacking growing in the future? Right now, who are the sort of people you're likely to learn life hacks from? Who are the sort of people interested in this?
From Cheng Soon.
Yeah, just among friends and mostly on the internet. So there's this social news website called Hacker News. It's not entirely about life hack, but hacking in general, which include the majority of it will be technical stuff. But there are some really nifty life hack. Like I learned about working while standing from that website as well.
Working while standing?
Yes. So based on the scientific research, basically says if you sit while you're working, it will kill you. It will lead you to a shorter life, like smoking now forever. And so a group of people begin experimenting to stand while they're working, and that helps. So you basically just get a standing desk and make sure you're in the correct angle, the hands is in 90 degrees, and you can work while you're standing.
I read an article about a guy who actually worked on a treadmill walking all day at a speed of 1 km, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was supposed to help as well.
Right.
So Information Week ran a survey on the motivations of hackers and found that a large percentage of people see it as a way of life. Is this true, or is it at least true for you guys?
Yeah, it is a way of life. It is the way you think. I mean, hacking mentality is something that, I mean, you just live with it, right? You don't really consciously think about it because that's who you are, right? I would like to attribute my hacking mentality to my grandfather, my great grandfather, right? My grandfather was I think he's the real hacker. Like, there was no computer back then, right? Obviously, but he built stuff, right? And he built a house. He built a bunch of things. I just sit there watching him build stuff. And whenever he encounter a problem, he would say something like, "Kita yang buat dia, bukan dia buat kita." Or loosely translate, like, "We make this thing, they don't make us," right? So that alone is like hacker mentality there, hacker attitude, right? You could solve any problem because this thing, you make this stuff, right? So everything in life pretty much the same. As long as things that can be controlled, you know what's going on, then there's definitely a hack for them.
Can we talk a little bit about the notion of hacker mentality? Because I think for many people, the word hacker, you know, it's associated with movies where people do cool things and break down government websites. But, you know, here I think we're talking about it in a slightly different way.
So for all of those who have watched Swordfish, that doesn't happen ever.
Yeah, hacker term has been hijacked by Hollywood for the longest time.
Right. Yeah. So in our conversation, when we say hacker mentality, what do you guys mean?
I kind of look at it as, just to touch your earlier question actually, I look at it as people who are always curious. I work with so many developers and hackers, and that's one common trait amongst all of them. They're always curious, which leads me to answer your previous question, right? Not everyone will take this up, because not everyone is really that curious. They only want pre-processed information, a large portion of the general public.
I think some people are happy just doing things the way they've always been done.
That's right.
Yeah. And some hackers consider hacking an art form. Do the same rules of finesse and skill apply when they're figuring out a life hack?
Depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just about getting things done. It doesn't matter about the skill finesse. I care about angle. It doesn't matter whether it's been done or not. It doesn't matter whether it's So it's a conventional thing, just get things done.
In the most efficient, sort of quick manner possible.
Yes,
And just as riddles require a certain way of thinking, are life hacks the same? You know, you need a certain sort of, you need to sort of switch your brain to a different mode to get a, to get the answer to a riddle. To get the method to a life hack, is the process the same? Is sort of the way of thought the same?
In a way.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I never consciously think about it, but you're just trying to solve a problem, right? And whatever works to solve that problem, you look at a different direction, and sometimes just giving different perspective to the problem could help solve the problem. And people always talk about have this eagle eye view of everything, you know, as a whole, and try how things correlate with each other. Probably that's one way of looking at it. But yeah, generally how you solve a problem, whatever ways that you want to do to solve a problem can...
I think it comes with insight. So the more you gain information, the more likely you will stumble upon a life hack, because you take one thing and you apply it to another. Take for example Rain-X. If you put it on windows, it will make sure, or your bathroom windows, you'll make sure the water doesn't like stick to the window.
Very true.
Bathroom door, right? I mean, it makes sense when you think about it for cars, but you wouldn't do it if you don't already mess around with cars, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, because to many people listening, I think some people might look at it as these are just little tips and tricks, and they're not necessarily, you don't necessarily need a mindset to see them, but I don't think that's true. Is the need to simplify and shorten processes a particular neurosis you can get afflicted with as a hacker, do you think?
Most of the time, yeah, you want to simplify something.
Yeah, but I think for some people, you know, there isn't always that need. Do you think hackers approach everything as, I need to simplify and shorten this, I need to make it more efficient? Ching-Sun, what do you think?
Yeah, I think like the hacker mindset is a lot about simplification. Like, I want to get things done in the simplest, shortest way as possible.
But not simpler.
Yeah.
Not always simpler.
Very Einstein of you. I mean, like, what about, like, on a daily basis, how do we simplify our current practices? I know one thing that kind of doesn't seem like a life hack.
Right.
Ching-Sun lives 5 minutes away from his office. Now, he didn't always do that.
Right.
But he moved to do that. So, is that life hack?
Yeah, I think a life hack on a daily basis is about your happiness. Right. How to be happier. So, obviously, stuck in a traffic jam is not happy at all. So that's why when I moved to KL, I choose to stay 5 minutes away, walking distance from my office. And from a daily basis, yeah, it's all about optimizing your happiness. Like, if you do this, you become happy. If you do this, you might become happier. So why don't you try it and see what happens, right?
We've got philosophers in the studio with us today.
It's deep, it's deep.
I'm speaking to Lim Ching-Sun, Arzumi Mad Yusuf, and Hakin Albaswari today about life hacks. When we come back from a short break, we'll be taking a look at how life hacks affect productivity and how they can also affect our health on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Bond frustrates Moneypenny. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, this is The Bigger Picture, and sitting in with me today is Lim Ching-Sun, Arzumi Mad Yusuf, and Hakim Albasrawi today, and we're talking about life hacks. So we've kind of established what it is, we've established a few examples, I suppose. What is the best end goal of a life hack? Is it saving time or money, or is it, as Ching-Sun said, just establishing a happier way of doing things?
Different people, different response, and also situation. But here's one. For me, finding new things is always like pretty cool, right? It's like, I'm an explorer that way. So when I stumble across a new life hack, either it's mine or somebody else's, it makes me happy. So
I think there is a delight to that, you know, to finding out something new or a new way of doing things. It's absolutely wonderful. In your opinion, in what areas of life should we never try to do things quicker or faster? I feel like I'm asking a question that you guys don't want to answer.
God. Food is a good one. Hello, don't rush food. Enjoy every single bite. It might be your last. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
That's true, but depressing.
So
I think things that comes with pleasure, then you don't really want to speed things up, right? Yeah. Like enjoying a beautiful view. You want to like sit there and then watch a beautiful view like forever. You don't want to speed. Okay, I'm done. Just wasting my time doing something else. Right, probably things like that, like the fact of pleasure in life.
Is it safe then to say that life hacks are more about work?
Uh-huh.
By and large, because we don't want to rush things that we enjoy doing. We want to rush the things that we want to get done.
I wouldn't scope it to just work. It's a daily, day-to-day basis, whatever you do in life, right? Because sleeping is not about work, obviously. Right.
No, but and you enjoy your work a lot.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to simplify my work.
Ching-san?
Yeah?
Were you about to say something just then? I'm sorry, I interrupted
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so I say about the things that we should never be fast, do quicker. For me, I think it's about routine things, like brushing of teeth, like taking a shower. Okay. Those are things I take pleasure in.
Simple joy in life.
Yeah, simple joy, and I try to do it as slow as I could, instead of the other way around.
Mm, it's not about accelerating your way through life, essentially.
Yeah.
Yep. Ching-san, how do you ensure that work shortcuts don't compromise on the quality of the end result?
I think the work shortcuts, the hacks, whatever, the purpose of it shouldn't have anything to do with compromising the quality. It should be always about delivering the quality instead of like people normally associate shortcuts with speed. Like you do a shortcut, you get it faster, but you might not get it the way you want it, right? So I think if you set the end goal right, instead of speed, aim for quality, then you shouldn't be compromising.
Sometimes these life hacks, I mean, a lot of the ones that you guys have said just seem so obvious, like the Raynex one, you know, it seems so obvious. So why do you think so many workplaces implement inefficient systems despite knowing its inefficiency? Why does that happen?
I think I speak for everyone when I say this. We're all from startups. We either run startups or we work in startups. And one thing we notice about startups is that the structure has yet to be laid down. There's no definitive way of doing anything. We're learning. Now, the thing about when you say work, yeah, you associate this with larger organizations that have structure, that have standing process, and they strive for repetition and efficiency on that repetition. Now, if that's the case, there's no real room for innovation. And to be able to life hack, you need to be able to innovate. You need to be able to move fast and break things. You need to be able to change things around on a dime.
Yeah, I think the common workplace is way too rigid, especially they are too big to change, right? A small startup is easier because everyone is new, everyone wants to achieve happiness within the company and try to do cool stuff. Like in my company, for example, sales.com, right? What we do, we have a routine that we do every week. Every Friday, we have something called gratitude, where everyone in the company just sit there and then tell everyone what they are grateful about this week, right? So this is one sort of workplace hack, where we could say, to make everyone feel happier when they come to work, and you know everyone as a human being who they are, not just like another colleague who do certain stuff for you.
The idea of having a life hack, of you know, being able to do life hacks, of accelerating and being exciting and breaking things, it's, as I say, you know, it's really exciting, it's quite exhilarating, but how do life hacks then affect productivity, if we get down to sort of the nuts and bolts of it?
Okay, I don't want to go into and define what productivity is, but it's getting stuff done, right? I guess not too many words. So you get it done faster, you get it done in a more
efficient
way. Life hacks can help you with that. There's a very, very popular thing called GTD, get things done. Concept in life hacking. You put stuff on a list, you tick off the list, gets done. You think about doing it and you don't create that list, you probably won't get it done. So, you know, it's about applying these learnings that other people have gotten to the work that you have. So productivity will increase if you apply what you follow lah.
Arizumi, you just shared as you say, a workplace hack,
right?
That's, you know, sort of targeted at improving happiness in the workplace. Do you guys think there are other life hacks that help to improve the morale of, you know, a working environment?
There's one interesting hack that this web company called 37 Signal does, which is give every employee of the company a credit card. They can use the credit card to buy everything they want without need to reporting the expenses, right? So the logic behind is to make them feel happy. And because they are adult, So we should treat them as adult without needing to report and stuff.
Trust.
Yes.
Trust. I guess there's certain companies too that they also say there's no vacation day. Like you can take days off as many as you want, like whenever you like. Because everyone is an adult, so you know how to manage this thing. You don't abuse it, right? So that's kind of cool hack. I think you don't take leave. You just stay off from work for a short time or whatever.
I love that one. It relies so much on people being accountable to one another. What about cases though where people find comfort or reach a state of zen in doing a task in a long-winded way despite its inefficiency? I think, I don't know about you guys, but I know I can identify with that, where you sort of do something repeatedly and you get used to it.
Chores,
yeah.
I think it's a great time to reflect and think. So sweeping floors, mopping counters, washing plates. I think all of these for different purposes. If your purpose is to run a restaurant, let's make it more efficient. But if your purpose is to not do your day job for that 15 minutes, I think there's a space for it. Comforting space.
Yeah, it goes back to the pleasure thing. We don't want to do things fast when it comes to pleasure. Like what Chen Soon, we're going to take a slow, long morning bath because he's enjoy it, right?
Moving on to health, Arzumi, are there shortcuts to feeling healthier? Conventional wisdom suggests no, you need to just keep slugging away at it.
Shortcuts to feeling healthier? I don't know, Chen Soon, right?
Yes, I think there's a lot of way, right? Like what my friend did very effectively is about using intermittent fasting. So the intermittent fasting is about like don't eat for all of the day and eat the largest dinner you can, like many servings and huge dessert. So the logic of it is, one thing is you have to exercise while you're hungry. The logic of it is to train your body to burn fat using your body fat instead of the food. So yeah, I think that's one of the shortcuts. You can eat as many as you can, but just in one meal. And as a result, my friend looks healthier. He got thinner. And yeah, I think that would be a shortcut.
Oh, I want to preface. I want to add on something to this. Life hacks, especially in terms of health, you got to try. It's not for everyone. So if it doesn't work for you, don't push it. Your doctor is your best friend when it comes to this one. So... Well, we're not doctors,
yep.
But we've seen certain unique results. Push More, the fitness guys, another example of life hacks where they roll tires, as in lorry tires, to keep fit, and they exercise to the limit, but they get it done in short periods of time.
A lot of it depends on what suits your lifestyle, I think. You know, for example, the dinner thing wouldn't suit anybody who has a lot of hard labor to do in the morning. For example.
That's right.
Yep. So how do you make exercise regimes less of a hassle? I mean, I'm assuming here that exercise regimes aren't, part of the things we enjoy, like eating or showering. Let's make that assumption first off. How do you make them less of a hassle?
I think one general rule that we normally follow is just do the best minimum to achieve the maximum result, right? And we don't think too much about it. You try with something small, like I don't normally exercise back then, right? Because it takes time. Because want to do something 30 minutes, and you want to go to work some more. And so let's just do something like 5 minutes, right? You just do something small, but make sure it's efficient. So you need to Google out what things that you're supposed to do, right? So whatever that minimum effort, maximum result, just go for something like that first. That's you know more.
I think the answer to this would be high intensity exercise. Like instead of hanging out in the gym, talking to people for like 2 hours, just focus on 15 minutes and 5 minutes resting exercise, relaxing exercise, followed by another 5 minutes of high intensity exercise. So for jogging, like instead of just running in a slow speed for half an hour, maybe do a 10 minutes of jogging, you dash for 1 minute and you resting and walking for another 30 seconds and you run. Yeah.
I've heard yoga is a great way of looking at it as you're hacking your body, because you apply certain amount of pressure on portions of your body, and that really does a lot of the heavy lifting.
I think here again it's important to stress we are not doctors. These are just, you know, separate incidents of things that have worked for people.
Right.
Yep. We're turning into a society with a major attention deficit disorder. I don't think anybody would disagree to that. Doesn't the life hack mentality exacerbate the problem?
It helps. I'm quitting smoking. I am on this thing, 21 days. You check in on your resolution every day, and you quit a habit. So it keeps me focused in that sense, which is like, yeah, okay. If you follow certain guidelines, it'll help you stay focused. But anybody can be out of focus at any time, right, if they don't pay attention.
Yeah, but I think it depends on what you're hacking, right? If you are working if you're a business individual, like you need to check your email all the time, so you're hacking, you get a better smartphone, right? So you can reply email all the time, people can get to you all the time. For like me, I have to get away from my work while I'm with my family or what, so I purposely not getting a smartphone. So now I'm still using a Nokia dumb phone. Right.
That's
so
reason.
Yeah. So get away from my work.
He did actually pull out the Nokia for everybody. <to answer. laughs> And Azumi.
When it comes to attention deficit, what I normally do when we come to this information overload, for example, it's a lot of things to read. If you follow Twitter, there's every minute someone posts something, right? So I use a service called Sumify, right? Where just email me every day a list of things that most of my friends talk about, right? So I don't, when a lot of my friends talk about it, then I know it's important, right? So you don't read everything, you just read what most of your friends read about, right? So then when you go and see your friend, you can talk about the same thing.
Right, so using an aggregator, in other words,
some sort.
Okay,
yeah. Here's a useful hack as far as that's concerned. Get tickets for really cheap on AirAsia or, you know, all these flight thingies. Now you can wait for people to send you promos on tickets, right? Or you can go to these ticket aggregation site. You can say, I want to travel from when to when, and it will figure out the cheapest ticket. Not mine, but you can check out what was it?
Adioso.com
and Flippy.com. So that cuts through all the noise, helps you focus.
I think that's a great phrase, cutting through all the noise. That's what everybody wants, really. Mm. Okay, my last question to all three of you. What do you think is the most important thing for people to understand about life hacks?
Oh.
Silence.
Okay. Most important thing.
Loaded question. What do you
think? Okay, I think when people try to solve a problem, regularly, like even ourselves, we try to see what other people are doing to solve it first. So whenever you saw other people do something to solve it and you think that's not the right way, I have a better way, I know a better way, I will try a better way, that's actually a hack. Mm. That's actually a life hack. So life hack is not anything that's really glorious or something. So anything is not conventional, but getting done in your way, that's a life hack.
Mm. Test. If you don't want to test new stuff, then you will not explore new life hacks. So that's the simple reasoning for me.
Yeah, I think it's all about experiments, right? You just experiment with new way of doing things, because things like exercise, for example, whatever people talk about probably doesn't suit you. So you need to try it out and see if it doesn't work and then move along. Whatever you think could solve problem, just try it out first, and then if it doesn't work, just move along. If it works, tell everyone about it. No, don't keep it to yourself.
You need to be adventurous. Okay, thank you guys. I've been speaking to Lim Cheng Soon, Arzumi Mat Yusuf, and Hakim Albasrawi on the subject of life hacks today on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.